So this will be really casual.
Like we just locked away.
Like, and it's and just us now, so
it's sealed airtight now.
Praying mantis.
We have 3 minutes.
We have 3 minutes before we run out of oxygen. But we do that on purpose. We like to see people struggling.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, the truth comes out in the end, really.
We're going to choke it out of you.
What is worship music? How do we determine what's categorized and labeled and put into the worship genre? Can worship music apply to all styles of music? On today's episode of The Walk, we have a conversation with two guys from one of the most well-known Christian bands out there. Newsboys bandmates Adam Agee and Michael Tate talk about their long life of worshiping God in their own unique way. Here we go.
I'm Joshua Swanson. I have the privilege of sitting with Adam Agee and Michael Tate from Newsboys. We're excited to have you guys hanging with us, talking about things that matter, you know, Jesus and songs and artistry and craft.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's really cool to have you guys here.
Thanks.
You know, man. I mean, obviously, worship leader, we're typically focused on what people would put in the category of worship.
Right.
But I've interviewed a lot of folks in maybe your category of CCM that are saying, hey, what I do is write worship songs too. I just deliver them in a different format than maybe what you think is worship.
Right.
So what do you guys, first question is, what do you guys think about the categories and the labels that we put on music?
I grew up in an era where we just did, you know, as we called it back in the day, social conscious music. I believe worship in a proper form is like the vertical, you know, what we do that honors God. And that could be life, it could be living, loving your best friend, loving your wife, your kids, how you talk to people, how you talk to God more importantly. But there's also the horizontal involved too. Worship comes from that. So it's kind of the cross formation at the end of the day. But worship is a very powerful tool to communicate with our Creator.
Yeah.
That's why I like it. That's why I enjoy it.
Do you feel like when you guys go on stage as Newsboys that you're worshiping?
What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think it's changed a lot throughout history, really. Mm-hmm. Like the definition of worship or worship music, you know, from some of the old hymns to when the, you know, the big worship movement happened, you know, around like 2000, like 99, 2000, like the whole thing. I remember we were just getting started with my old band, Stellar Cart, right then. And we would go lead worship at camps and youth retreats and stuff like that. And I even had, you know, pretty prominent like guest speakers come up to me and say, you can't play rock and roll and do worship.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
And I was just like, this guy's a lot older and a lot wiser than I am. I was like 19. But I'm like, I don't think that's true, man. I think I can. I think this is my expression of worship, and I think it is an individual thing. I think there are songs that are definitely, like you were saying, vertical, like we are singing to God, and that's a little bit, I would say, more obvious in the corporate sense
of
everybody worshiping together, and this is the focus. I really think just using your gifts to point people to the Creator, I think that's worship, and that's giving back what He's given us. And so, I mean, I've led worship in church. I was a worship leader for years before going out on the road full time and playing rock music. But I mean, every night that we play, there are just amazing moments where you can see the crowd connecting. And it's special. I mean, I love rocking out just as much as anybody, but those moments are the ones that get you.
That's good. Adam just gave a great definition. I gotta remember that. How you said, worship is using your gift to
honor God.
To honor God.
Yeah.
That's what worship is. Using whatever that gift is. Is it speaking? Is it loving your neighbor? Is it loving your coworker? Is it, you know, working the local mission?
Yeah. Doing whatever your job is as well as you can.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Awesome. Well said, my friend.
Well done. Okay, so you guys are pretty well known. Fame is a pretty tempting idol. How do you guys stay grounded?
Sometimes I don't.
Right on.
And
so you're human, you're saying?
It turns out. Yeah.
Turns out
no excuse, it's a fact. But when I wake up in the morning time, lately, Josh, I've been saying, God, you know me better than I know myself. I say, Holy Spirit, just fill me today. Give me divine intervention, appointments, divine moments. Show me your glory. And just steer me away from keep me safe from Satan's darts. But I got to put that armor on because the armor gets beat up pretty bad throughout the day. And you got to fill up, man, you know.
So
my pastor said to me one time, he says, turns out, Michael, we leak. So we have to keep filling up because there are days and there are times. But I know when I'm kind of, you know, not sharpened up, I can sense a little slippage here and there and things. And I go, okay, it's sitting good. That's when the bad stuff comes in.
Yeah, for sure. That's
good. So you just have to really, and it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
God's graces and mercies are new every day for a reason. We need them every day.
I think people handle fame differently. I've experienced small levels of fame. Like if the whole band is walking through an airport or something like that, you get noticed, or if everybody's together, but I can kind of hide if I'm just by myself. This guy, however, doesn't care to hide at all.
Yeah, and you've got a bit of a recognizable face.
He's quite gregarious, walking through an airport, singing as loud as he can, talking to everybody he can. So, obviously, he gets noticed.
A little exaggeration,
but
goodness.
He's a big movie star, so he gets noticed. But, like you're saying, it is a choice every single time. And I've watched him really try to use those moments to care for those people that are so excited to meet him or meet us. Yeah. It's just another chance that we can interact with them and hopefully make their day better. And it's, I really have, even when we're super dead tired, I don't think I've ever seen or experienced him or anybody, thankfully in the band, like really be rude or mean to somebody. We might say a few things after an interaction that we're just like,
sure,
please leave us alone. But it's not, it's usually after we haven't slept for like 40 hours or something like that. And it's just,
coming from Germany or London.
But just cause we're human, right?
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But really, I mean, most of the time it's, we like it. He really enjoys.
I love people
talking
a lot.
He really does.
I really do.
More than I do. Even. I'm happy to go sit in my corner and read a book
well,
or something like that.
Artists that are very introverted.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's actually quite common.
Most artists probably are.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Because we give everything on stage, like right, and you're giving in interviews and you're giving on the performance and you're out there and you just want to kind of go back and take a breath.
Yeah,
but then. If it becomes an hour long meet and greet in the airport or something like that, it's crazy. But yeah, it's all part of it. But I think he does a pretty good job.
That's awesome. I respect that. I love that you do that in the airports. That's really great.
We have a lot more to come with Adam and Michael, but I wanted to quickly segue to another interview that we did with Aaron Stewart, the co-founder of Planning Center. Aaron, along with his partner Jeff Berg, have built a fantastic company, and so we thought it would be interesting to glean from Aaron some leadership advice. We asked Aaron, how did they develop such a good company culture?
I think there's kind of two things. One is a work-life balance. We want people to love their job and to be great at their job, but we want you to clock out at 5 o'clock. Like, we want you to go home. So many software companies, startups are just like, go full out all the time. You're working on weekends, you're working on nights and all that kind of stuff. And for us, Jeff has led out on this so much of like, we want to build a place that we want to work forever. And so letting people focus and be as good as they possibly can, and then spend time with their family, spend time at their church, spend time volunteering, do all that kind of stuff. So that's the first thing. And I think the second thing for me is instilling a sense of ownership. I want every developer, every designer, every support agent to understand why we're doing this thing, who we're building it for, how it impacts them, so that when they're building those things, it's like, I'm not just checking tasks off a task list. Like, I am contributing to this vision as a whole, and that helps me like engage in a different way, that it's like, oh, you know what? I bet you if we did this, if I suggested this one little change, it would be a little bit better. And I'm like, yes, I need every person working on this thing to be invested in the outcome, because if they are contributing their ideas, the end product is going to be so much better than if we're just relying all on my ideas. Planning Center would be nothing if it was just what me and Jeff were thinking of. It takes the whole team feeling like they have ownership of that and adding value to that along the way.
Planning Center, for those of you who don't know, is a set of software tools to help you organize information, coordinate events, communicate with your team, and connect with your congregation. You can find out more about it at planningcenter.com.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, back to Adam and Michael from Newsboys.
So I saw that you guys recorded I Speak Jesus. Side note, you know, my pastor is one of the guys that wrote, was one of the co-writers on that song. And so I've got a special place in my heart just because of our local expression. Our local community has really embraced it. But why? Why did that song strike a chord with you guys to, you know, I mean, obviously you guys write your own music, so write your own songs. But why that song? Why
did Sometimes you really as an artist, and Adam can agree with this, as an artist, as a writer, you go, man, should have wrote that song.
Yeah.
Or been in the room when the guy, you know, to be one of the writers on that song.
Yeah.
In a more real way, it speaks volumes to the lyric. And what we do, you know, as musical missionaries, I call us sometimes, in public and singing, you know, the God's not dead, and that he reigns, and that we believe, and there's something beautiful. And a song like I Speak Jesus just fits in Newsboys format. We are no stranger to covering songs. We kind of newsborize them. But what the lyrics says.
That's a new phrase. Yeah, newsborize.
Yeah. Yep.
Got it. That's what drummer Duncan called the newsborize it. The lyric, man, when it talks about speaking Jesus in the streets, I grew up that way. My dad was a street minister, a minister in a church later on. So, and not being ashamed of that, you know, the Great Commission in Matthew. Jesus for my family, my friends. That's like the most powerful part of the song to me.
Yeah.
Because it's such a relational thing, you know? So the song just struck a chord, literally, lyrical chord, musical chord. And we thought, let's carry this message further.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we're fans of music just as much as anybody else is. Yeah. And so if we hear a song like that, that really impacts us.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this song is special.
Mm.
And so what would happen if we just recorded our own version of it and we sang it at our shows and people just got to have a really great worship moment at the shows, and it turns out like it's one of the
highlights.
One of those special highlight
moments.
It's
in your show.
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, wow. Right on.
Yep.
And our worship set within the show. Also, it's like a 28 song night, and we cover the whole gamut. Newsboys have been around for a long time. So we go from the old to the new, and that's part of it. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What are some other worship songs that people could expect in a Newsboy
King
show?
Of Kings, we cover. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we have He Reigns, his Newsboy song. Mm-hmm. We believe in Newsboy song. God's not dead, a Newsboy song. We see think about worship.
Well, there you go. See, back to our first question.
I know.
Well, what is worship?
The whole set is worship.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Okay. See, the old mentality that quick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ministered to by your music when I'm not in a position where I'm trying to sing in a congregational setting, when I'm just trying to sing to God. But just, you know, well, so segue that to my next question. Stand.
Yes.
That song really resonates with me.
Yes.
Paul's always talking about standing against the devil. And it's one of those motions, those movements that I feel like the Lord is just saying, look, simply just stand.
Yeah.
Just stand up. Yeah. I'll do the rest. Like, so where did that come from? That song? Was there a scripture? Was there a moment? Was there?
Well, it was, it's actually a life cry. I mean, it's a desire.
Mm.
And once again, being human, sometimes we fail to stand.
Yeah.
Sometimes we fall.
Yeah.
But as our bestie Toby Mac says, we fall down and get back up again.
Mm.
And sometimes it's tough to stand when there's so much coming at you,
mm-hmm.
From social media,
mm-hmm.
from friends, negative energy around you. It's tough to take a stand. It's not peer pressure. The list goes on. It's a tough thing. But when we do, what a difference it makes.
Mm.
And when we don't, what a difference it makes.
Mm.
But in the end, we're commanding, you know, to stand up.
Yeah.
When we do that, we're going to have lots of things come at us.
Mm.
If any man chooses to serve me, he shall suffer persecution. And it comes with it, you know? And something it's kind of a freaky thing. So yeah, it's a pretty bold statement, but it's also, real life.
I dig.
Yeah.
Good answer. What are some of the lies, I think, just to humanize you guys a bit, what are some of the lies that the devil tells you guys on a daily basis that you got to fight against?
Just the classic, you're not good enough.
Adam, I swear, I was the same thing. I hear that.
Imposter syndrome.
You're not good enough, and you know what you did last night or last summer. Oh, man.
The classic film.
I know what you did
last summer.
Yeah.
The devil uses that against me all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I had a conversation with my brother-in-law this morning. My family's in town, my sister and her husband are staying at my house. And I said, the biggest thing I've been attacked with, guys, I'll tell you, Adam, this and Josh, okay, right now, over the last few years, is Satan throwing doubt in my path.
Hmm.
Doubt about the fact that my God, my creator, we're just saying about not being dead and how we believe that, how that can be thrown in my path. And you're like, oh, Michael Tate, what? Are you dismantling your faith? No. I'm in there. I'm good. But Satan gives me the Downey Thomas syndrome a lot of times.
Yeah.
But then God shows up. He does things where I know could only be God.
Yep.
And I'm back at it again. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Just because you play on stage and just because you write songs about it and just because it seems like this is what we do for jobs, it doesn't mean that you're immune to any of those doubts or any of that, the stuff the enemy throws at you. It's the same struggle. Yeah. It's the same things as anybody with any normal regular job. Like it just seems like sometimes if you're in ministry that maybe you should be stronger.
Yeah, you should be held to a higher standard.
Come on, man.
This is what you do for a living.
Yeah, yeah. And the battle for the mind is real.
Talks
about it.
Daily.
That's what battle is fought, man.
Well, you mentioned putting your armor on. I mean, that's it.
No question about it. But the headpiece, man, because it's Romans 12. I should know Romans 12 about renewing our minds.
Yeah.
Renewing our minds. It's like, I have to, dude, because left to myself, I go to a lot of crazy places.
Yeah.
So I have to go, God, you know, come in and but on the other hand, I'm encouraged because it's once again it's real life. Think about Paul. Mm. Who knows what Paul thought about? Mm. And it's the only times in prison, you know, and times alone.
If he's getting beat up, and
but also coming from the life he came from,
so just the stuff that he had done.
It's his conscience. It's only my conscience gets the best of me.
Yeah, good point.
And again, it's a crazy cycle, man. But all that to say, as we're living in this horizontal world, we've stayed in a vertical mode mindset too, for sure. Because if not, I mean. Just a little piece, a little open part of the armor.
Yeah. You know? I talked to Chris Llewellyn recently. He's from Ren Collective, and he said something very similar to what you're saying. He's like, I find that I'm much more of a doubting Thomas than a Peter.
Yep.
Like, I thought I was a Peter walking on water, but I'm actually much more of a doubting Thomas, and I need God to remind me every day.
Me too.
You know, that's good. Okay, so advice. You probably get this a lot, asking for advice. So advice for the next generation, the up-and-coming generation, Gen Zs. Very looking for authenticity, and they're looking for Jesus, and they're looking for something solid. Based on your experience and your faith and in what you guys do as artists, what advice can you give?
Man, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and she's junior in high school, and so she's just right in that zone where there's just choices everywhere.
Yeah.
You get choices for everything. And so I don't know. We try to tell her that we love her. Surround yourself with good people, because you really do become who you associate with.
Carouse with them,
good and bad.
So you're in trouble now, given that you're a newsboy.
Trust me, I am trying to bring this thing up.
You're praying it up.
Come really on, Lord, Hoss, sin we can have the best.
This is why I'm here.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Chief of sinners, right here.
I think that's a big thing on a deeper spiritual level. I try to tell people. I mean, I want to say 5 or 6 years going now where I have tried in my life to make the very first thing I do in the morning, as soon as I wake up, very first thing I do is open the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Before I look at my phone, before I go have breakfast, before I even get out of bed. So it's the first thing first.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does, even if you don't think about it, it really does make you at least start your day focusing on the right things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's 2 seconds or whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever, I try to encourage people to make the first thing first.
In line with that, Adam just said, it's funny how much we're hitting on the same distance right now. I mean, we talked about this at all today, about this interview. We know it was going to come up with your questions, Joshua, but people say, what would you tell your younger self?
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell the younger generation. I would say 3 words. And these 3 words haunt me to talk about them. I get choked up because I've made some regretful mistakes in life, and you have to live with them, and they suck, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan was reminded all the time. You have to know that God is greater in you than all the devils in the world. But still, you're human, so you think about that kind of stuff. But 3 words I would say: choices have consequences.
Mm.
Choices have consequences.
Mm.
And I have to rely on 2 verses. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if it's a conditional statement, if we confess our sins, he is faithful when people are not. He is just when people are not, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, not some, but all of unrighteousness.
Right on.
It's a daily battle. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily reconditioning, re-upping, renewing. And then I would say, when it talks about, Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path. the crooked paths can be made straight. God can make what Satan used for bad into good. It can all come full circle. But we have to acknowledge, first part of the verse, him first. We acknowledge God, acknowledge, like, that means adhere, listen. What you say, Dad, not just boom out the other ear. You know, sometimes that has happened. Being a kid, I grew up in church. I've heard it all. Went to Liberty. I met Toby and Kevin. I've done 3 bands in my life, including my own solo band. And I've heard, I've been Bible thunked.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard it all. Of recent, I've really reapplied it. And it works.
Yeah. It gets sweeter with age.
It gets sweeter with age. It works.
Yeah. Good. So what are some of the things we can pray for you guys for? As a band, as individuals, family members? Because we got a lot of church leaders that watch our stuff.
Pray that God will give us the tools, the music that impacts people's lives, because it's what we do. I mean, that we're on a stage in some arena or church or theater or somewhere in the world. Last week, London. The week before that, the country of Colombia. Next month, Oregon. Next month, Germany. So, and then the tour starts this coming weekend. So, a lot's going on. So, definitely that God will give us the songs that impact people. He's been so faithful through the years, you know, from DC talking to now, when these boys sell songs. And then to pray that, he keep us grounded and keep that hunger alive.
Yeah.
People always ask, how do you guys do so much? Yeah. Do you get tired of doing it? It can happen. Yeah. It can happen. But in the whole word, I ain't saying the word jadedness, but jadedness can become a part of it. You've done it so much.
Sure.
But I can genuinely say, and Adam knew it with Newsboys, but I can genuinely say with other guys, Jody Duncan and Jeff, and Adam for that matter too, we love what we do. We feel called to what we do. And we're going to do it until God says not to do it. As my grandfather said, we're going to die standing up. We're going to, you know, swing it as we go down, if you will. So just pray that God will give us that stamina and that hunger and that consistency.
Amen. We will. And Adam, we got to pray for you because you've got a 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah. And a boy, a 10-year-old boy. And then a lot of the guys have, you know, many, many kids, and they're all in school, and they all come home sick, and then we get on a tour bus with 12 guys crammed in a little tour bus. And
COVID one, 3, 4, 5, and
1
6.
Guy, yeah. COVID 18 times. I'd say pray for our health on the road as we travel a lot. From coast to coast and across the pond and around the world. And then we're doing 35 shows this fall. Yeah. And so it's a lot of travel. Pray for our health and pray for our families.
Yep.
Will do. Let me segue into some leadership questions. So are you guys planning out the next 5 years of Newsboys? Like, is there a vision? Is there a plan? Like, how are you casting a vision for the band?
I'll say what Jeff Frankenstein would say, our band director. If you say what you're going to do, where you're going to be in the next 5 years, or play it out, you're probably completely wrong. Because you don't know what's going to happen. That's not escaping the question, but
it's
reality.
No, that's good.
The goal is to make music. We're looking at maybe doing another movie that's kind of in the works. You'll hear about that as it goes on. Pray for that because it's very impactful.
You can't post that.
Cut.
Unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed, but I'm looking to it. And then also using our platforms we have. I mean, if God gives us something tomorrow morning to do differently, we'll do it. So we're open to whatever God has out there for us.
Good.
We've always been that way.
I think things have changed in the last 3 or 4 years, trying to plan out whether 5 years or 10 years.
That's fair.
Because, used to, back when I started and when you were doing it, you'd have record cycles.
Yep.
And you would have a certain amount of time, and then you'd have, you know, you would know that in, 6 months, the album's due. We're going to tour that album for 18 months, then we're going to write another album, and then it's going to be
due. That's all changed.
And that's just out the window now. Now it's like we're going to collect songs. We're going to release a song here, and then we're going to release another song here, and then we'll release an EP, and then we'll release a full album, and then we'll release something else, and we don't know. And so it's kind of all over the place. And so what we're doing right now is we're just writing as many songs as we can.
As God gives us every day.
We're fortunate to be able to write with some of the best writers in town and from all over the world, really. And getting to write some really killer songs. And then as they come alive and become ready, then we'll share them with everybody, and then hopefully have an album out sometime next year, mid next year. And then tour, and then we'll just kind of keep going on that trajectory, and hopefully it keeps going, it keeps getting bigger and better, people still want to hear music, and we still make music that people
Want to hear.
Enjoy.
Yeah, right on. Side question. This just struck me. You know that video you guys did, Magnetic?
Yeah.
Everybody was wearing black, but you were wearing white. Mm-hmm. Was that an accident? Did you just show up and forget your black outfit?
Joshua, what do you think? You think it was an accident, Joshua?
I mean, I'm just asking.
No, I'm
just asking
you
for
a question.
Friend, you know, I mean,
what do you
I'm
think,
the interviewer, Joshua? Michael. I get to ask the questions.
I think the more important question is, why were you guys surrounded by electricity standing in water?
Right? When you
There's
were
a
walking,
bigger question.
When you were walking on water, was that you guys saying that you are Jesus?
No, I was not
Jesus. Do you think you're Jesus, Michael?
Not a far from it. Make it clear.
Didn't you play Jesus in the Hero rock opera?
Every camera, not him. I need him, but I'm not him. No, because, I mean, on one side, I'll be honest. One side, on the honesty, I can be honest. White looks good on darker skin sometimes, or most times than not. And it was definitely, you know, a Leisinger thing, like, let's put on all white, put the guys in another color, kind of pop, you know.
Like to be better than the other guys?
No, not at all. It was just total marketing,
to make sure that people saw you.
That was not my question. That was Adam's question.
Guys.
That's all changing.
It's all changing. Well, I will blast today for that reason.
The next video, everyone else will be in white. You'll be in all
exactly,
black.
Exactly. No. Okay. But on the little tip, that was a fun video to make.
That was really cool.
Yeah, that was Jeff Frankenstein's idea. And
he's got some good ideas. He's got
the guy's brilliant.
Don't plan anything and do videos where you walk on water. I want to meet this guy.
Yep.
Yeah, he's brilliant. But I mean, that was a blast to make, yeah.
That was a good song. Okay, back to leadership. Important all right. stuff. All right. Best advice you've ever gotten from a mentor?
My dad told me, and my sister, when we were kids, a wise dad. 9 kids in the family. 5 girls, 4 boys. I'm the last boy. I haven't always followed this advice, but it's good advice. If you don't mean it, don't sing it.
Mm. Mm.
That much. And it's like...
So now you haven't always followed that advice.
No, I have not, because I've sang songs that...
Which songs do you...
Oh, my.
Josh...
You just opened up a whole...
You can't know that.
Josh, there, brother.
Can't know
you
that.
You know what, Josh? Let's just say that I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Preach.
Amen, right? Amen. That's good. That's good. That's, we'll talk, though. That's good. That's all right. That's cool.
That's right.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. There's, and then on the, that's one on the spiritual side, but on the human side of things, there's some songs that we do. I'm kind of like in a set.
Yeah,
as a lead singer, I'm like, I'm watching him doing the songs. I'm excited for the crowd. He's like, oh, wait till this next song comes. They're gonna love this song. They're gonna love this song. Love this song. No, this one song. I'm like, I gotta get through this song. Cause some songs just don't excite you, you know?
Sure.
You know, but sure. Thank God there's not a lot of that in my life.
Have you ever called an audible and just been like, sorry, gang, I don't want to sing this.
Oh, no, I'm looking at Jeff's one.
Oh, yeah.
And skip past that song. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
Not often, but sometimes. Maybe because the show was going too long.
Sure.
Or I feel like, you know what? We've done enough with this pounding on this one particular area, you know.
Yeah.
Of a subject.
How does that feel as a bandmate when he's like,
it's great. It's all about him, really. So it's fine.
That's not even
just
true.
Used to it. I don't know. Is there anything different than that?
This has just turned into a therapy session.
Guys.
Welcome to the Newsboys.
You're a jerk. You know you're being a jerk right now.
I know. We're going to talk through some of their personal issues. So, I'm not a licensed therapist. I just want to be clear.
Adam has a comment.
Well, I was going to go back to your question. The best advice,
the best advice I ever got
was somebody told me, they said, react the same way to praise as you do to criticism.
Ooh, that's hard.
Which is receive it and let it go.
Mm.
And so.
Have you done that?
Yeah. Honestly, it's saved my life because I played in a pop punk band for 10 years.
That is hard for me.
And so.
I miss what comments you heard.
Right at the beginning of social media where everybody is just like, you're terrible. And they, you know, everybody finally, you know, from their basement was ever able to have an opinion on what you were doing and could tell you. And so it just dealing with a barrage, you know, you get 100-to-1 comments saying that they like you.
Yeah.
But
right.
Then what are the ones that you look for? You're like, you scroll through, great, we love you.
Back to that.
You're terrible, you're the worst, you should quit music.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't sing,
and
you stink.
You live in that one.
That's the one that sings.
And so, knowing that if, you know, somebody says, dude, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that very much. Mm. And then let it go. Mm. Don't dwell on that either, because it's not that you can't, if you just love that so much, then you're going to just want that. And if something else comes along, it's going to crush you.
So you're saying, Adam, that both should be deposited into the think bank.
You receive both. You receive the criticism, but then you have to let it go.
Yeah.
You can't dwell in it. And the same with the phrase.
Delete button. Take it in. I'll put this praise to the side and not get cocky from it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's nice little future energy. And this one here, bleep, I read it, delete, because yep. if you dwell on it, dude, it'll rock your world.
Yep. Man, that, no, I appreciate that.
Good
that
word.
Resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a, yeah, that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Good mentor. Okay. So we did a recent series of articles called Worship in the Average Church. Dug up a bunch of statistics about what's really going on in the church in terms of songs that are being sung on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So one of the stats that really freaked a lot of people out, or just surprised them, I should say, is 69% of churches are still leading worship from a hymnal.
69%?
69%.
Wow.
So my question is, how many hymns are you guys writing?
Oh, wow.
You know what?
Or would you consider redoing a hymn?
We did a hymn record.
Yeah,
we did a hymn record.
Did a whole hymns record.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah. And we like to do those every now and then, especially at some of the like acoustic shows.
Hey, we'll
break out some of those.
Yeah. What do we do? We do He Lives?
Yeah, He Lives. We do just a bunch of like the...
What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Great.
There it is.
Great old songs.
Oh, yeah.
So I read that on the last album, you co-wrote 10 of the songs?
Yes.
Okay. So is that like the equivalent of being like a ball hog, but for songwriting, or how does that work?
No, it's just interesting. Now, but I had something to share, you know.
Yeah. That's some,
records,
to say.
Some records have, you know, I've done, you know, little to nil. And I believe in chasing the song.
Yeah.
My grandmother writes it and it's great. I'll put it on the record. If Adam writes it, it's great. We'll put it on the record. It's not a thing of like, it's got to be the lead singer. No, not at all. Because one thing I know for sure is I don't know a lot. Mm. But God does. And so if God breathes into me in that moment, walks to the room and goes, here's an idea, go for it. Yeah. But also, too, on the practical side, I had a lot of time on my hands. 2 years off the road during COVID. So I thought, never before I've had that kind of time to go in and craft a record and then walk away and change a course, walk away, rewrite a verse. I mean, I had so much time that it was amazing. And I've never enjoyed writing a record, even including DC Talk, that I didn't on Stan.
Yeah.
Stan was probably my favorite record I've done in Newsboys.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, kidding aside, I mean, you've referenced a lot of your experience, and that's the other beauty of where you're at as an artist, is that you've got all this time, all this time with the Lord, all this great experience, you know, and now you get to write that into songs and kind of minister to, you know, the next generation and pass that wisdom on through your songs.
And now the beautiful part about that is going forward, we had no plan on adding a fifth member to our band. We were happy. Duncan Phillips, our drummer, was adamant about in his words, not being, he don't mean God. Well, let's play the Beatles with four guys, like the Stones, like the Beatles, four, I'm like, Duncan, that's cool, but what if? Well, no, what if? Then the what if came along, named Adam Agee.
There it is.
And we've been besties for a long time. I do some solo stuff on the side, and Adam Agee, along with another guy named Dave Stobel, would always accompany me. Mm. And I was like, this guy's just so good. He's just a great player on bass, guitar, acoustic, singer. Mm. Pretty much wrote the song, The Promised Land. Toby Mac, my bestie, sang. Adam, I wrote that song. Toby, you know, of course, made it his own, but Adam, the template was Adam's. This new record we're working on now, it's been great because, like, this guy's like, if I don't get to the studio, he just goes right ahead and starts writing the songs. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, hey, this is great, you know, but I've never had that.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic now having, you know, an in-house cat that you like and you love and has ideas that are just fantastic.
Mm. What's it like to you, for you now to be a part of this mix?
It's really fun. I've never been in a situation where I don't have to be the guy, like the front man, the guy that wears the white pants. I
never brought up
that. I actually really like it. I really love...
He's sweet about that.
I love, you know, I've done the front man thing. I did it for 20 years. Mm. And so to be able to not have to do that, I mean, I liked it. I loved it. But I love this where he can go out and be him and not have to worry about anything because... I'll pick up wherever he's
brilliant,
you know, leaving off or doesn't want to do, or we can tag team on stuff. Yep, yep. And same thing with the band guys. If it's like, well, Jody's having to try to play two guitar parts, well, maybe I can cover some of that for him.
He kills it. I'm so proud of him. I can't hide it. I'm so proud of him. He's great. He is.
But it's been awesome. And one of the coolest parts is when you're in a band like Newsboys that is... One of the larger bands, I would say, in our genre.
Hey, it's pretty big.
You get great opportunities with great writers,
That's
which is a little bit harder as a smaller artist, or especially as a new artist,
yep.
To get those opportunities, or at least to get the frequency that we're able to get them.
That's good.
We've been able to write with just world-class writers, and it is so luxurious for me, and it's just so enjoyable. I love it so much, getting to go in and write with these guys that we've written about 30 songs for this new album.
Yeah. Whoa, and, we ain't done yet. Is it going to be a deluxe set, two
CD? You're going to have to find out.
Wait and see.
You'll wait and see.
But yeah, it's just been so fun just to be a part of a great team. We just got a great team from label and management, booking, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's really
blessed.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Blessed.
We're excited.
What are you guys currently writing songs about for this new upcoming album next year? Themes. Just give me themes. You don't have to tell me the song names or anything like that.
One thing is about the future. We've been hoping the future, we've been promised from the King of Kings.
Okay.
It's one song.
We've
about
got a couple of songs about that. Yeah, about, you know, the assuredness that we have in our faith and in a future.
What's the song about the hunger of worldwide revival?
Yeah.
We're praying for that.
Did you guys go to Asbury or have any interaction?
No, we didn't go to that.
No.
I didn't, at least.
I didn't either.
Yeah, no, but we had several friends that went up there and said it was pretty remarkable.
Was I got to go. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. We did go out to California. We got to write with our boy Matt Redman. Who's one of my favorite all-time worship leaders. As you know,
we have a song that talks about God being our fortress,
mm-hmm.
and our place of refuge, and a place to hide, and a place to under shadow with wings, the whole nine. That's a powerful song, a ballad.
Yeah,
we have songs about
just a lot of songs about. When we're writing this record, I used to lead worship at a church mm-hmm. called The Bridge in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
We were in college at Arizona State, and it was right next door. We actually met in a nightclub on Sunday nights. They would shut it down,
nightclub.
And we would meet in the nightclub. Yeah, we had to clean it out. It was wild. But we met there, and then a couple years later, as I transitioned out and went out on the road, the church took over a food distribution center in South Phoenix. Surrounded by a large homeless population, inner city. We switched to Sunday mornings where we would serve like a breakfast for people in the community. And we'd have a couple hundred people come in, and like three cars in the parking lot and like 200 people inside.
Yeah.
In that church, I would go back and lead worship there. And it was just a wild experience playing these songs on stage and seeing this audience of people that had nothing.
Mm.
It was so different than being here in Middle Tennessee, where a lot of the population is doing well.
Mm.
And there, especially in that situation where there were just a lot of people that were down on their luck or just had and never really had anything, just spilling their guts out to Jesus.
Mm.
It was special. And so these songs that we're writing, I want to put it through that filter of, would these people in this church setting want to sing that?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Would it connect with them on that level? Not just the people who have it all together and, you know, just want a little pick me up. Does it hit at a level where if I have nothing, I can still sing this song?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that begs the question. I mean, you guys get a lot of radio play. A lot of your songs are radio hits. Do you think about that at all? Like radio versus congregational worship versus the setting
you
of the song?
You can't help but not think about that. I mean, the tail doesn't necessarily wag the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times you think, okay, well, you know, how can you, what's the whole purpose at the end of the day? We want to reach the masses.
Yeah.
And radio's a part of that. So
yeah, I think that's why we have a team that everybody's got their job that they do.
Yeah.
And if our job is to write the songs and to perform the songs, then I want to write them as authentically as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And we present a song in its, and I guess you could say its purest form or raw, you know, the way it's written.
Piano, guitar, vocal.
Sure. Or even if it's, you know, whatever, but just we write a song. And then if our team says, well, that needs to be a radio single, then we'll kind of massage it to where it needs to be as far to fit.
Yeah.
What the best chance it could have of being, you know, a radio single that everybody would be able to play. And so there's a little bit of give and take there, not necessarily lyrically, but just it usually winds up being production on that.
Well, one thing, people are always at the forefront of your mind thinking, how can it reach the most people with this song?
Yeah.
And those usually the songs that end up on radio because people relate, they can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
The masses can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that visual, though. I'm picturing that nightclub and those folks just getting down and dirty with worship. That's so good.
It was down and dirty, for sure.
Yeah.
We had a whole cleaning crew and everything. Yeah. That was tough.
That's great. You mentioned your dad, so I didn't know that you grew up preacher's kid.
Yeah. My dad was a...
Is that in KC?
No, I actually grew up in D.C.
Oh,
D.C. blocks. Okay. Northeast of our U.S. Capitol building.
Okay.
My dad was a cab driver and a street preacher. Evangelist, and then started, I think, three or four small churches, maybe four churches. Yeah, the last one was more than that. He started four churches in D.C., inner city churches. Never massive, 200 members, 300 members, but just had a burden for souls. His favorite life verse was Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise.
Hmm.
But that's his son, end of the day, all the money you make, the games you get, American Music Awards, the list goes on, platinum records, gold records. What does it profit if you don't reach the masses and they lose their soul, you know?
Yeah.
And I look at back then, my dad was so wise. He wasn't educated. He only had a fifth grade education.
Mm.
But he knew the word. He kept behind that pulpit, Josh, and that man would speak the gospel and just hit you right between the eyes because he couldn't be more real than that, you know? That was his heartbeat. So that's the foundation I had growing up, you know?
Dang.
In some ways, it was tough. Some ways, it kind of drove me away from certain things that were right, and sometimes it drove me to things that were right because I had a great example, my dad.
Hmm. Pastor's kid, man. My dad was a pastor for 20 years.
Really?
And I never in a million years thought I would be in ministry, but let alone on stage doing anything, you know, until I was a teenager, basically, late teenager. So it's crazy that
full circle.
A bunch of us are pastor's kids in the band.
Yeah. Awesome.
Worst kids in the world, those pastor's kids.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Here's two great examples of what not to be as a pastor's
kid. That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
True enough.
Well, Adam, you brought up DC Talk quite a few times in this interview, so I have to ask, what is your favorite DC Talk song?
I don't think I ever did once.
Wasn't that Adam that said DC Talk? I thought that was Adam.
Oh, this is so good.
DC Talk's my favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
We say oftentimes to me in private. But Adam,
on the bus. Actually, okay, funny story. I did like DC Talk, but I got into DC Talk a little bit later. I didn't listen to Christian music.
I don't know the story.
Until,
did you like DC Talk?
No, I'm just making it up right now. I didn't get into Christian music until I was like 19.
Okay.
And so that would have been...
What era was that?
98.
Okay, that was Supernatural.
And so that was the first record that I heard from DC Talk was Supernatural.
Wow.
And I was like, this is awesome. And so that was right when I was learning how to play instruments. And so I'd go up to the church, like late at night when nobody was there, and I would put the Supernatural CD right here, and I'd put the headphones on, and I'd play drums to the Supernatural CD. I taught myself how to play drums to that CD. And then I went back and found this other little CD called Jesus Freak, and I thought that was pretty good too.
Wow.
But
that's
crazy. I was a fan.
I was a fan. I was in the band.
You know?
Wow. Yeah.
Who wasn't a fan?
No. Yeah. I don't mean like fan, like, oh my gosh, I'm so good. No, fan is just like, you can tell when God's using something.
Yeah, it was cool.
You're a part of it. It's like you're just happy to be a part of it.
Yep. On your album Stand, it looks like you guys brought in Toby Mac and you brought in, Mercy Me.
Yeah.
Bart to sing a few songs. Was that just you needed more white guys in the band or what was,
what
was that about?
No.
Like it wasn't enough white guys or
no, we just did that because these are good friends of mine. They happen to be of lighter skin tones. However, the beauty is found in the diversity, Josh. You should know that. That's the beauty of God's creation, the diversity.
Good.
So
I'm gonna write that down.
That's all gonna get cut.
That's totally not gonna make it.
That's all gonna better make it. That's real life. That's real life. That better make it off every camera.
That was good.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Just what you said.
That's good.
All right, last question. This one's very serious. Right. You guys have over 1 million subscribers on YouTube. Can we have some of your subscribers?
Yes.
Yes, you, but guys, as you watch this
first
podcast, please subscribe to Worship Leader.
I don't even know.
We don't have to be part of it. They probably won't.
You guys are a lot of fun, man. Thanks for hanging.
Thanks for having us, you know,
a lot of depth.
So maybe, good.
A lot of wisdom. Truly appreciated it.
Keep us in your prayers because we need it. We are.
Yeah.
We're on that road, you know?
Yeah, right on. For sure. Keep going.
Let's straighten
out. Hughes Boys, Adam A.G., Michael Tate.
Thank you, Adam and Michael, for the great conversation.
we'll play out this episode with that amazing Newsboys song, Magnetic. If you haven't done so already, it would mean a lot to us if you would subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. You can find out more about us at worshipleader.com. We also want to thank our partners at Life Audio for being awesome. If you haven't done so, head over to lifeaudio.com and you'll find podcasts on parenting, politics, Bible studies, and more. I'm Joshua Swanson. Thanks for listening, and here's Magnetic.
As soon as I open my eyes, it's the same voice on the inside. Already so heavy, weighing on my soul. All the fear, all the worry, all the heartache, all the hurting, colliding with your lighting, trying to steal my hope. Some days I break, I lose my way, more doubt than faith. But every time I'm in that fight, your love keeps pulling me back, it's magnetic. I pushed away, but I can't escape.
Life Audio.
Hello, my name's Rachel Carmen, and I want to invite you to come over and listen to my podcast. It's called Real Refreshment. For years and years as a young mother, I chased after the wind, thinking that the world could offer me the refreshment I longed for. But it was only when I discovered it in the person of Jesus Christ that I really found refreshment. Come on over and join me as we dig into Bible study. I'll see you there.